The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. COVID, kind of an interesting way to start a homily, but COVID, all politics aside, taught us a lot, or reminded us at least, at how much proximity to one another, how our daily habits can cause it, a sickness, to spread. And when we look at the world, it's easy to see that what can happen at a very biological level can just as easily happen at the spiritual and moral level as well. Which is why St. Paul warns us today in our second reading and also encourages us at the same time to crucify our flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, to let go of those viruses in our life, although they may hurt to let go of, to let go of those viruses that can lead to our demise or can spread to another person. Yet, much like the pandemic, how difficult it is oftentimes, especially in our culture today, for people to sift through and figure out the truth about what's helpful and what's maybe harmful in their day-to-day life. And so amidst this kind of crisis of truth that we're facing, we can be tempted, like the apostles, to kind of fearfully lock ourselves into that upper room, to kind of hide away and be alarmed at what may take place. But today, as we celebrate the Pentecost, the remembrance, the founding of the church, it can give us reason to hope, because Jesus promises the Spirit, the Advocate, the one who works on our behalf, that when he comes, he will testify to the truth and guide us into all truth. And as a result of that, that change that happens within our own life, then Christ follows that up and says that we too will also testify. So instead of keeping ourselves maybe 6 feet away from each other, the gospel mandates quite the opposite. Right? The gospel tells us that we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, should draw closer to understand each other and to invite them closer to the heart of Christ. And so when I think then about the virus of our time, those things that threaten us the most, it takes me back to a talk given by Monsignor Shea this year at the Sikh conference in St. Louis. It was there where he was telling the nearly 20,000 college students and reminding them that throughout the course of the history of the church, she herself has experienced many different diseases, many different things that threaten her. But as he continued, he said in his talk, he used this image of Jesus and the leper. You may remember Jesus, the leper. Jesus heals the leper, and the leper goes back into the town. Jesus can't go into the town because of the crowd. So in a certain sense, Jesus takes on the fullness of the disease, the leprosy, so that when he goes to the cross, Jesus can become the antidote, that Jesus himself can take on this disease to bring about the healing. And I would add this Pentecost, when we look at our readings tonight, that they remind us that of the diseases of our times, we must approach them, not distance ourselves from them, in order to combat it as members of the body of Christ and with the power and working of the Holy Spirit, whose gifts are given and whose gifts we celebrate at Pentecost today, we can become part of the antidote ourselves. And the rush to become this antidote is pressing. Why? Because the threat, the disease of our times, is no longer a threat, but now it's morphed into something within our midst. Because the very disease that threatens us is promoting the very culture that Paul warned the Galatians about in our second reading today. Isn't it funny how things don't really change over 2,000 years? St. Paul warned the Galatians against a culture that promotes the works of the flesh, immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, selfishness. And in today's world, it's all to fill the pocketbooks of a few just so that its victims can be more confused and deprived of the truth about themselves and about their future. And if this virus is cultured here and allowed to continue without the medicine of immortality, the very medicine of Jesus Christ and the truth of his spirit who he sends, then more people will die in Pittsburgh from this than from COVID. My brothers and sisters, we must become the antidote. And to sit on the sidelines and expect someone else will take care of it is the negligence that allows that very thing to spread. To become the antidote means that we, not just we collectively as in someone here, but as in each and every one of us, myself included, have to lead all people to the truth about who we are made to be and who we are made and what we are made for. Albeit speaking in charity the whole time and leading them to the truth, first and foremost by the way that we act, not just empty words. Demonstrating that reason should dictate our passions, not the other way around. We're called to boldly proclaim the truth about human sexuality and chastity as well, a well-ordered love. When we wonder why love has lost its meaning, why people are struggling to love each other, it's because we've forgotten the cross. That love and its definition is willing the good, not of myself or my passions, but willing the good of the other. We also then have to teach the truth about God's mercy. That one decision does not, in fact, end one's future. Yes, while it requires an embracing of sacrifice, while it requires a cross, it can actually begin to teach someone how to love and be loved, maybe even for the first time in their life, changing the course of their lives so that they can begin life anew. And to become the antidote means that we have to teach all about the dignity of human life, all human life, not just children, not just those who are dying, but mothers and fathers alike, so that no matter their socioeconomic level, no matter how many times they've made a decision we don't agree with, we are there for them. My brothers and sisters, as many if not all of you are aware, Planned Parenthood announced this week a new Pittsburgh location, and their very business model that was clearly demonstrated and celebrated in their press release was to bring a culture of death, a pandemic of death, making our town a destination for people in the states that have restricted it to come here so that Pittsburgh becomes a haven for death. This is not something that we take lightly, but we must testify and say yes once again to the truth of Jesus Christ and receive the medicine, the spirit of truth ourselves, so that we can become the antidote, inviting, yes, even those who don't believe what we do, inviting them to the very truth about who God made them to be as sons and daughters of a loving Father and of the freedom that he affords us when we live in accordance with the spirit of truth. You know, Monsignor Shea mentioned all of the saints throughout the history of the church that experienced all the difficult things, that addressed the popes who were having kids, that addressed the popes and moved the papacy back to Rome, that addressed all of these heresies. They were the antidote for their respective times. Why should we think of ourselves as any different from them? Because we become the antidote when we reach into our own medicine cabinet, when we receive the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit that have been given to us, those same things that Paul mentioned in our second reading, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity to those who struggle, faithfulness to the mercy of God, gentleness with those whose decisions we don't agree with, and ultimately embracing, teaching, and living ourselves self-control. If disease can spread quickly, then why can't truth be even more contagious? Thousands were converted after Pentecost. And if we're willing to become the antidote, then why can't we? This Pentecost, I implore you, be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit yourself. Live in that joy, peace, patience, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control afforded us by God's Spirit. Then we will bring this town to become a place of peace, a place of light, and a place of encounter with the all-loving, all-merciful, and all-forgiving God, who didn't just come to save us from earthly death, but came to free us from eternal death. Don't be alarmed. The saints who have gone before us, they themselves brought the church out of darkness by that same gift of the Holy Spirit. Just think, Perhaps maybe you and I were created for a time such as this.